Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
This morning, in the last day of summer, I'd like us to go to Psalm 1, the very first psalm, and believe that God is going to speak to our hearts in these simple, yet six verses. Six verses that are life-changing. They are life-altering. And you might be thinking, oh, preacher, you're overspeaking it, and no, I am not. And you might be mistaken here this morning and thinking just working hard is going to meet the need of your life and your soul and bring satisfaction. And the preacher says in the book of Ecclesiastes, you can have all the coins in your pocket you want. That isn't going to satisfy. You can have all the popularity that the culture can give, and that will not satisfy. That will not meet the need. That is not the answer. The preacher said in Ecclesiastes, wine, women, and song. It is not the answer. The only person that thinks that if I can just get to the top of that mountain, that next mountain, if I can get up there, if I can just accomplish that, then I'll have fulfillment in my life, and then I'll know what true joy is. And the only person that thinks the joy is at the top of that mountain, that man-made mountain, here in this earth, the only person that thinks that is the person that has not gotten there yet. Everybody that gets there looks around and says, man, is this all there is? Is this all what life is about? And Psalm 1, the Psalms are the hymnal of the Old Testament. The word psalm just simply means melody. It means hymn. And in this very first psalm, in the uncertain days in which we live, this will help your family. This is a God-ordained roadmap to success, to real success. In 1981, when I was called of God to go to Fundamental Baptist Church, there's a few, not very many at all, that were there. I'm thinking there may be one or two people here that were there and part of that church when I told Debbie after a week of praying, we're going to Fundamental. Actually, I'm laying awake at night. It's Friday night. I wanted to sound spiritual as a young preacher boy, so when they asked me to come and preach, I said, well, I'll pray about it 1 week, and not intending to take this church, because you know what? Good people, four or five old ladies, maybe three or four old ladies, a couple of old men, a bunch of snotty-nosed kids, about 25, 20, 30 people in whole folding chairs in a little metal building, no windows. Boy, to me, it was just very depressing. I've been to a lot of churches that were a lot less, that were not depressing like that. And I thought, well, you know, I had a good time preaching there, and I'll pray about it 1 week. I'm laying in bed, and I said, Debbie, and she's laying right next to me. She said, we're going to Red Yard, aren't we? And I said, yes, we are. And I surrendered. Do you know what I did that first Friday night? I took my Bible, and all by myself, in that little tin tabernacle. Remember, that's what we used to call it, the tin tabernacle? I got down on my knees in the altar, and I'm the only one in the building. And I prayed through Psalm 1. And I said, God, I'm going to practice Psalm 1. These five things. And I'm going to do these five things, and you say here that you're going to bless, and you're going to prosper. And I'm here to tell you, God has done that. In 43 years, looking back in my rearview mirror, man, I see the blessings of God. It's not always been easy, but you follow God, and God blesses. Look at Psalm 1. Psalm 1, that very first verse, the sweet psalmist of Israel. This is David, King David, the shepherd king, the warrior king. Some of the psalms he wrote as an old man, this is one of them. He was once a young shepherd, now he's an old king. He's the king of Israel. He's already recorded Psalm 37. He said, I once was young and now I'm old and never yet seen the righteous forsaken or begging bread. And here's the promise of Psalm 1. You want success in your life? I want success in my life. By the way, this is not a health and wealth, peace and prosperity sermon. That is false doctrine. God wants, we are all called to suffer. We're all called to go through deep waters. Not many of us are called to be rich. Not many of us are called to know earthly popularity. That's not what's being preached here this morning. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about fulfilling the call of God in your life. And if you fulfill the call of God in your life, you'll know joy. You'll know peace. You'll know happiness that money can't buy. Your family will rise up and call you blessing. You'll reach the end of your life and there won't be regrets like there would have been had you lived your own life. It says here in verse 1, David very succinctly and profoundly describes the essence of joy and success compared to the emptiness and the dissatisfaction and the failure of ungodliness in the two latter verses. First of all, he says, blessed is the man. Blessed. That's something you want. That's something I want. It's the Hebrew word esher, and it is in a plural form here. And it means joy. It means fulfillment. It means deep breath, satisfaction, and a very elemental level. Everybody that cuts the grass knows what I'm talking about. You get the grass cut, you look back, you take a deep breath, and for 1 hour of the week, everything looks good in the yard. And you kind of fold your arms and you look at it and go, breathe a deep breath and that looks good. Look what I have done. Man, I want to get there at the end of my life. I want to be able to look back over my life, see the hand of God, see the blessings of God, and be able to breathe, not like Nebuchadnezzar and say, look what I have done. That's not it. That is not it. But instead, look how good God is. God is good. I finished the day yesterday totally exhausted. I was sleeping by 8:30. Am I right, Deb? Yes. 8:30 in the evening. We still had people at our house. I'm going to bed. I gotta go, man. It's a big day tomorrow. And I was just totally whipped, totally exhausted. But you talk about a sense of fulfillment. Man, I want to live every day that way. He says, blessed, happy, over and over, in a plural form, blessings and blessings and blessings, is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. The blessed man, the man that knows the blessings of God, is the man that does not take the counsel of the ungodly. And don't you know there are ungodly counselors in every direction in the world in which we live. You can find a preacher that'll tell you whatever you want to hear. Teachers having itching ears. Let's go to 2 Timothy in chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 3. Whatever your pet sin is, you can find a preacher that's going to tell you it's okay. Somebody that isn't going to preach the word of God. Someone that's going to coddle you. A teacher that has itching ears. What is the fad? What is the popularity? That's what's being spoken of. What do you want to hear? Man, what's the popular thing of the day? That's what I'll preach in order to get a crowd. I don't want a crowd like that. I don't want a crowd by doing God's work the devil's way. I want a crowd by people that are hungry, by getting people that are hungry for the truth, for the word of God. And again, I get so sick of people hearing people say, and this is so humanistic, you got to find your own truth. There is nothing more humanistic and narcissistic than that. You know, the answer is not your own truth, because the heart is desperately wicked. It'll deceive you. The answer is the truth. His name is Jesus. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. So we need the truth. It says in verse 3, for the time will come, Paul tells young Timothy, pastor at Ephesus, the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lusts, that's narcissism, shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and they shall be turned unto fables. He said the day is going to come. They're not going to want the truth. The day is going to come. They're going to want to hear what they want to hear. Brother and sister, we are there. Here we are at the church age. And you can find any kind of church you want to find. And I want to tell you, it's not like we got a corner on the truth. We do not. There are churches all over America that stand for the Bible, and they stand for the truth. And they're Bible preaching, and they're Bible practicing. And they're sister churches. And man, I love them, and I'm every fundamentalist friend. I'm every Bible fundamentalist friend. That, to me, that's the bottom line. Those are the foot soldiers that are up front, and they're in the heat of battle, and they're doing the work of God. But the psalmist said, you can't be that spiritual sap that believes everything that comes down the road. You got to get solid in the Word of God and solid in doctrine, and don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. And the ungodly, again, are everywhere. Stop following the wrong people and start following Christ. You say, how do I know how to follow Christ? He gave us a book. You start following Christ. This will help your family. This will help yourself as an individual. This will help your business. You can get to that place. I'll talk about the word success at the end of this message. The first thing you got to do is don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the way of sinners. There's a difference between light and dark. There's a difference between good and evil. I'm saying, the preacher is saying in the book of Psalms and the very first Psalm, he's saying we should not look like the world. We should not walk like the world. We should not smell like the world. We should not talk like the world. As a born again child of God, we're new creations in Christ. Listen to this, teenagers, college kids, don't emulate the world, the culture. You're not weird by being clean cut. You're not weird by being wholesome. You're not weird by being modest. As a child of God, we're not to fall in lockstep. There's so many spineless people that get in the culture and they fit right in. They camouflage and they become like them. And it isn't long, they're like Peter. Remember Peter, when Jesus was standing on trial, he denied Christ 3 times. You don't want to do that at college. You don't want to do that among your peers. You don't want to do that at work. As a child of God, you want the key to success. Number one, you don't listen to the counsel of the ungodly. Number two, you don't look like the world. As much as I surrender to God, that much He will use me. I'll get off this because I got 3 things I want to cover real quickly besides this. As a child, it matters. It matters how we look. It matters how we dress. It matters how we talk. People, you're the only Bible some people are ever going to read. And you claim to be born again, and you look like them, and walk like them, and drink like them, and talk like them. You're nothing. You have no impact. Those people are never going to get saved. So don't let your heroes be those kind of people. And there aren't a lot of heroes in the world today, are there? It's like the absolutes keep changing and the heroes are gone. Here we are in the last days that Paul warned of, the perilous days that are going to be existing in the world just before Jesus comes. You don't listen to the world. You don't look like the world. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. You don't think like the world either. That is not reality. And you can't have the Pollyanna attitude where I'm okay, you're okay. And you can't be the pessimist where, man, everything's dark and everything's falling apart. How about being the blood-bought, born-again biblicist that's in love with life, in love with Jesus, and you carry the light where you go? Amen. That's what a child of God is supposed to do. You say, Pastor, I don't think I've ever led anybody to Christ. Maybe you're not showing them Jesus. Maybe you don't carry the presence of God with you like you ought. Perhaps you kind of cower in a corner at every opportunity. But we're not that. Don't think like the world. Go to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew 7 was last Sunday morning's message, I believe. The very first verse. Judge not that ye be not judged. Okay, I kind of exegeted that last week. It talks about, it doesn't say you never judge, because we are told in the New Testament, in the scripture, that we're to judge in light of the biblical truth, all right? But he is saying, what he does say, what Jesus is saying on the Sermon on the Mount, don't develop a critical spirit. Don't be that person that thinks that you know the heart of your brethren. Don't be that person that critiques everything that goes on. You'll lose the joy of the Lord in your life if you think you're God's Gestapo. If you think you know right and wrong or what's going on, or you know what's going on behind closed doors. And a lot of times that is not the truth. And again, that is an unreal world. There's a battle for the mind. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, and I think it's verse 4 and 5. The devil is fighting for our thoughts, for our mind. You want to know success. You don't take the counsel of the ungodly. You don't look like the world, and you don't think like the world. You've got a biblical worldview. Paul looked at Jesus, or the world did not, Paul did not look at Jesus through his circumstances of life. Paul looked at his circumstances of life through Jesus. It changes everything. It says in verse 4, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations." Where does that go on? Right here. "And every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God." Where's that knowledge going on? Right here. "And bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." The devil is fighting for your thought process, for your world view. Man, don't follow Satan. He'll promise you the world. He doesn't own a grain of sand. Not a grain. Don't give him the keys to your house. Don't give him the keys to your children's bedroom. Man, don't follow him in any way. Don't take the counsel of the world. Don't look like the world. Don't think like the world. I could say a whole lot more about that. But let's go to the next verse, in verse 2, back in Psalm 1. "But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night." Now, this isn't going to take long. All right, it looks like I got all these verses yet to go, and it will not take long. So I want your attention up here. I want you to catch. This is going to help you. Three negatives. You don't take the counsel of the ungodly. You don't look like the world, and you don't think like the world. There's two positives, and it overwhelms everything. And that's our relationship to the Word of God. And it says here in verse 2, "But his delight is in the law of the Lord." I have an anchor, an absolute. And in the shifting sands of time and culture and moving goalposts, generation after generation, and multiple times within a single generation, I have an anchor, I have an absolute. Theologically, we refer to the Bible as the verbal, plenary, inspired Word of God. All 66 books that make up the canon of the Word of God, it is the preserved Word of God, and it's never going to change. It's just like my Jesus, who said, "I'm the Lord thy God, and I change not." Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. So the culture can do whatever it wants. The Gen Zers can do whatever they want. The millennials, the Generation Xers, whatever other generations are there, and myself included. The world can do whatever it wants, but truth is not going to change. And if you've lived enough life, you're finding out that your cup is empty. You say, how do I fix that? Number one, stop listening to the world. Stop emulating the world. Number two, stop thinking like the world. Don't sit in the seat of the scornful. Love the Word of God. Go to Joshua chapter 1. Joshua and chapter 1. Verses 7 and 8. We want to be a Bible people. One characteristic of Bible-loving people is joy. It's joy. You show me someone that doesn't have the joy of the Lord, I'll show you someone that isn't studying their Bible. I'll show you someone that set their Bible down and are now listening indirectly to ungodly counsel. Because it comes by way of music. It comes by way of our culture. It comes in the workplace. You can't, it's around you all of the time. So you need to keep feeding your spirit. And that comes by way of the Word of God. Joshua chapter 1, verses 7 and 8. "Only be thou strong and very courageous, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest." You hear what the Word of God is saying? Saying, Joshua, you be a biblicist. Don't go to the right, don't go to the left. You hang on to the anchor, the Word of God, and I'll prosper you. Verse 8, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, and that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. And then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt find good success." It's all about being connected to the blessed old book. I love the Bible. I love the physical Bible. I love it in my hands. A man told me this summer, "Pastor, I'm concerned about our church." I said, "Well, tell me about it." He said, "Nobody carries a Bible to the services. Never used to be that way. Nobody's carrying a Bible." In fact, Pastor, sometimes the preacher doesn't even open his Bible. I'm saying, man, they're half a step from Ichabod. Because you don't need to know what the preacher has to say. You need to know what God has to say. So you don't listen to the world. You don't look like the world. You are different. We're called out. It's ecclesia. We are to stand out. We don't think like the world. We're to love the Word of God. We're to delight in it, and we're to meditate in it. And it's this simple. I want to make this as practical as I can. Bible reading. Maybe some here this morning have gotten away from it over the course of the summer. It happens. Even good people. Not by design. Not on purpose. Not in a premeditated fashion, but set their Bible down. You'll never get enough Bible from this pulpit. You got to have it at home in order to withstand the storms of life. Here's four things. Number one, put your Bible reading on your schedule. Like you brush your teeth. Read your Bible every day. Amen. Number two, start in the Gospel of John if you're new to it. You'll hear all about salvation in the Gospel of John. Jesus will tell you over and over again. Number three, ask God for one thing that you can use that day. He'll give it to you. And then number four, then go and read a psalm. Read the book of John, a little bit, then go to the Psalms. You start there as a baby Christian, you're going to grow like a, I was going to say like a weed, but you aren't no weed. You're going to grow like a blossom, like a flower in God's garden. That's about as eloquent as I can get. You're going to grow. It's going to help your family if you love the Bible. It also says in verse 3, and he shall be like a tree. Now, botanists speak of trees as plants, and is the strongest plant in that kingdom. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. And along the Jordan River, the largest trees in Israel grow along the Jordan River. David was writing very eloquently and very picturesque as he's describing this. He's saying, you'll have success if you'll love the Word of God. Don't listen to the world. Don't look like the world. Don't think like the world. But don't get that critical spirit. But if you'll delight in the Word of God and you'll meditate in the Word of God and you'll get it, you'll grow strong like a tree by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Salak is the Hebrew word there. I wrote it down in the margin of my Bible. And that word prosper literally means to succeed. Man, we all want to be successes. And it isn't like it's me against you. And it isn't like, and I hope in your mind, it isn't like you've got to make a certain amount of money or have a certain kind of house. I hope that's not what it's at. I hope it's not as carnal as that. But how about successfully raising your children for the glory of God? How about passing your love for God onto your son and onto your daughter? How about doing something where you strike a blow and you make an impact for God in your lifetime? You say, man, that's what I want. I don't want to have that empty life that the preacher in the book of Ecclesiastes describes, where everything is empty. It's all vain. He says it over and over again. It's like it's nothing. Here was Ecclesiastes, Solomon, richest man in the world. The strongest man in the world. Israel was at its military zenith at that time. Everybody just quaked in the presence of the nation Israel. Had it all. Had all the money, all the food, everything he could. If he wanted to have a holiday, he could have a holiday. And he says, it's empty. Myrrh, song, he had all the music. He says, it's all empty. It's all empty. He's saying, by way of inspiration, the top of the mountain, I've been there. There's nothing there that is not satisfied. But Jesus, now that's another story. I just want to read two verses, the last two, last three. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff. This is compared to the successful man. The ungodly are like the chaff, that's just dusty husks, which the wind driveth away. Job 5 says, yet man was born under trouble, uphill all the time. Struggle bus day in and day out, and the bus breaks down half the time. You know, a culture without Christ is a waste. A life without Christ is nothing. Oh, there's the ceremonial happiness, but nothing ever lasts. By the way, you'll never find joy in music alone. You'll never find joy in drink, in beer, in hard liquor. You'll never find joy in wine, women, or song. You'll never find joy in having coins in your pocket. It all comes to nothing. The joy is found in Christ. You say, I just want to be popular. I just want everybody to love me. Yeah, the joy is found in Christ. And I don't want to pop your bubble, but not everybody's always going to love you. I've outlived, since I surrendered to the ministry, I've outlived most of my enemies. That's a good thing, that's a bad thing. A bad thing is I'm getting old. But no fear, I've made a lot of new enemies along the way. It's amazing, if you stand for God and you stand for righteousness without being holier than thou, the world doesn't need any of that. But you stand for the truth, there are people who just don't like you because of what you are. And you know, and that's unfortunate, and Jesus warned about that. But he says, the ungodly, they'll not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. There's no heaven for them. The Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Man, that's not what I want. I don't want to perish. I don't want to have everything come to naught. Go to Matthew chapter 7 and verse 23, and I'm done. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 23. Here's the way of the ungodly. Matthew 7 and verse 21 it is. Verse 21. I want to succeed. I want to claim the promises of God. I want to live as consistently as I can. Oh, I failed God again and again. But I want to live as consistently as I can with God for the glory of God. And I want to do something for the Lord Jesus Christ. And there are many times I've failed him along the way. And I'm so sorry about that. But we ought to have the attitude, come hell or high water, good times or bad, live fat or die skinny, we're gonna live for God. We're gonna plant the flag. We're gonna let people know who we are. We're going to be that city that is set on a hill. We're going to let that light shine, not under the bushel, but in the open so everybody can see it. It says here in Matthew in chapter 7, in referring to the ungodly who are like empty, dusty husks, the wind just blows away. They're just a wisp in time. They're here and they're gone, and there's no impact. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. I read this morning at the fairgrounds. But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. Great white throne. That's what Jesus is describing here. By the way, this is Jesus talking. He is the Son of God. He is not a deceiver. He will never lead you astray. He said, at the great white throne, there'll be preachers. Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? Haven't we done many wonderful works? And he'll say, depart from me, accursed, I never knew you. I never knew you. You were never my child. You never got born again. You never repented of your sin and received my son, Jesus. And it's Jesus that's going to be on the throne at the great white throne. But you've never received the gift of eternal life that was provided at Calvary. And is that you this morning? You that are watching live stream? Anybody listening to a radio broadcast? We got a lot of radio listeners below the bridge. It's amazing. Are you born again? Or are you just doing the best you can? I got to tell you, the best you can is not good enough. And you need Christ. You need to be saved. If you are saved, and you honestly can say with me, God has been good to me, what would happen if you stepped up your game? What would happen if you lived out these five principles? Big, bold principles in the first psalm. I call it being a Psalm 1 Christian. You don't listen to the counsel of the ungodly. You don't look like the world. You don't think like the world. You delight in the law. And you meditate in it day and night. Our relationship to Jesus is our relationship to this book.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book. Broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.